You are listening to the Back to the Bible radio broadcast, which is brought to you each week by the Creston and West Jefferson Churches of Christ. A warm and cordial invitation is always extended to you. There is no obligation placed upon you when visiting with us. The church in Creston meets just across from Roundabout Road on North Carolina Highway 88. The church in West Jefferson meets at 130 Robert Street, which is just behind the park in West Jefferson. Both churches will be meeting this morning at 10 a.m. for Bible study and 11 a.m. for worship. The church in West Jefferson will meet again this evening at 6 p.m. for another period of worship and again on Wednesday evening at 7 p.m. for Bible study. We welcome your questions and comments, which will be honestly and sincerely considered. Send them to us at Back to the Bible, 130 Robert Street, West Jefferson, North Carolina, 28694. Or they may be submitted online at wjchurchofchrist.org. We now invite you to open your Bibles and study with us as Tim Canup, the minister for the West Jefferson Church of Christ, presents another message from God's Holy Word.
Hand, and we cannot understand all the ways that God will lead us to that blessed promised land. But He'll guide us with His eye, and we'll follow till we die. We will understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathering home. We will tell the story how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by. Temptations, hidden snares often take us unawares, and our hearts are made to bleed for each godless word or deed. And we wonder why the test when we try to do our best, but we'll understand it better by and by. By and by, when the morning comes, all the saints of God are gathering home. We will tell the story, how we've overcome. We will understand it better by and by.
The Apostle John exclusively records the I am claims of our Lord, such as, I am the door, and I am the good shepherd. I am the bread of life. I am the way, the truth, and the life. John 14:6. And as we'll see this morning, he also made the claim, I am the light of the world. We'll primarily focus on the Gospel of John, but in just a moment I want to notice a few other passages. As we think about this claim of our Lord, light represents knowledge. It represents understanding. Paul said to the Ephesians in chapter 1 and verse 18, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened. Light is the opposite of darkness. Therefore, darkness represents the ignorance or the lack of knowledge. As you look at the two, light is greater than darkness. Light can dispel the darkness. Darkness cannot overcome the light. They cannot coexist. In Luke chapter 2, verse 30 beginning, we read some of the words that is cited by Simeon in the temple when the infant was brought there for the ceremonial presentation, and there Simeon, having been given the prophecy that he would not die until he had seen the Savior come. And verse 30 says, my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared before the face of all peoples, a light to bring revelation to the Gentiles and the glory of your people Israel. Matthew said in Matthew chapter 4 and verse 16, or Matthew recorded, the people which sat in darkness saw great light, and to them which sat in the region of the shadow of death, light is sprung up. Let's take this claim of our Lord and let's examine this and see how it pertains to us living today, how that it can benefit us. I want to begin with the claim itself, and there are three passages that I want to call your attention to, and in John chapter 8 beginning, we see that there the context is the religious leaders has brought a woman who is caught in the very act of adultery. They bring her to Jesus trying to trap Him, to put Him to the test. And He, as He always did, masterfully answered their accusations and their arguments. And in verse 12, after doing that, after answering them, "Then spake Jesus again unto them, saying, I am the light of the world. He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." I want you to notice how they responded to this statement of Jesus in verse number 13. "The Pharisees therefore said unto him, Thou bearest record of thyself. Thy record is not true." This claim of Jesus on this occasion prompted a very intense discussion between Jesus and the religious leaders. And if you've ever read chapter 8 of John, which I'm sure you have, you realize that that perhaps is one of the most intense debates between them. And the reason that it was so heated was because of how they understood His claim to be the light of the world. They took that as being a claim of Him being the Christ, the Messiah. And it certainly is accurate. Also, when Jesus said, "He that followeth me shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life," it implied that they, those religious leaders, were in darkness, and they truly were. Let's go over to John chapter 12 and notice again that this, John chapter 12, is the last recorded public discussion of our Lord. I'm going to break it down. I'm not going to read all those verses. Back in 35 and also verse 36, Jesus discussed light and darkness. In verses 37 through 43, He discussed with them belief and unbelief. And then notice with me, dropping down to verse 46, Jesus cried and said, "He that believeth on me believeth not on me, but on him that sent me. And he that seeth me seeth him that sent me. I am come a light into the world, that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness." In this claim, in this particular passage, Jesus connects faith and obedience with that of light, the understanding. Now, let's go over one more time to John chapter 9. Go back to John chapter 9. And this time is the blind man that was born in that condition. And as you remember, as Jesus and His disciples were traveling along, they came upon this man. And His disciples, they had a question. Who sinned that this man is like this? He or his parents? Jesus accurately addressed that inquiry by stating that neither had sinned. It wasn't because of sin that he was this way. He was this way so that the power of God could be demonstrated. In verse 5, Jesus there says, "As long as I am in the world, I am the light of the world." Application of that, as we've noted, that light represents an understanding, a proper knowledge of the truth, the will of God. And Jesus, by claiming to be the light, is claiming to be the source of light. That is, the source of understanding, the source of our knowledge. Jesus did not merely make that claim. As with all of the claims that He made, He demonstrated it. So I want to pose a question to you that we will address hopefully by the end of this study. Is Jesus still in the world today? Won't you file that thought away and let's move on from the claim itself and notice number 2, the comprehension. This time I want to begin back in John chapter 1, and this is John's introduction. Verses 1 through 18 is the introduction of Jesus, and He is introduced to us as the Word. And we looked at that not too long ago, and the idea behind the terminology of addressing Him as the Word is Jesus is the one who declares the Father to us. Verse 18. Jesus is eternal. Jesus is the one who is the Creator, and He is life. He is the source of life. In verse 4 beginning, we read, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men, and the light shineth in darkness, and the darkness comprehended it not." Take that last phrase there for a moment, and let's focus our attention upon it, comprehended it not. What does it mean? I went to Webster and I looked at the definition, and I believe it's a fair and accurate definition of this biblical word, and it means to grasp mentally. It means to understand. The Greek word that is used here is used some 15 times in the New Testament and is translated with such words as to take, to apprehend, comprehend, to perceive, to come upon, to overtake, to find, attain or obtain. Let me show you just a couple of these usages. Philippians chapter 3. In Philippians chapter 3, verse 12, you remember these words of Paul. He said, "Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may," here's our word, "apprehend that for which I also am apprehended." Used twice in that verse. Verse 13, "Brother, I count not myself to have apprehended." Three times. In Acts chapter 4 and verse 13, you remember the context of that. Peter and John had healed the lame man. They were arrested. They were taken before the Sanhedrin. And in verse 13, "Now when they saw the boldness of Peter and John and perceived that they were unlearned and ignorant men." It has the idea of that mental understanding. They, in their thought process, as they had gathered the information, their conclusion was they're ignorant and unlearned men. The application of this is that Jesus came into the world. And as He came into the world, especially as we look in John, we see that He made the claim to be the Messiah, to be the Christ, the Savior of this world. By world, we're talking about not this globe on which we live, but the people that occupy it, us, mankind. Mankind, as He came into the world and made that claim, mankind in general did not grasp it. They didn't understand. Not only did they not understand, they were not willing to accept that fact then and now. It's interesting, as Jesus has made this claim to be the light of the world, John then, as he goes through this gospel account, provides the evidences that we need in this book to support all of the claims that Jesus made. Not only this one, but mankind, for the most part, would not accept it. There are those of us who have seen the light, seen the evidences, and have accepted, but by far, the majority have rejected. Not only is it true in the first century that they saw Him and saw His signs and rejected Him, we now have the completed Word and men see and yet still reject. Number three, go to John chapter 3 with me and let's look at the condemnation. This, again, the context is Jesus' discussion with Nicodemus, who is one of the religious leaders, a Pharisee, came to Jesus by night, and we can certainly speculate as to why he may have done that. And undoubtedly, he had something on his mind, but he never really stated it. Jesus must have clearly understood why he was there, because Jesus seemingly interrupts him and discusses the new birth and entrance into the kingdom. It must have been what he had come to talk about. And as they had that discussion, Nicodemus was very confused by what is being said. And in this discussion, he makes a revelation of a great spiritual truth. Look in verse 14 beginning. John chapter 3. Let me get in the right book here. John chapter 3, beginning at verse 14. "And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whoever believes in Him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that He gave His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish, but have everlasting life. For God did not send His Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through Him might be saved. He who believes in Him is not condemned, but he who does not believe is condemned already, because he has not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. For everyone practicing evil hates the light, and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God." We understand the use of light. We all appreciate light. We may not think about light too often until the storm comes and knocks out the power. I believe most of us, accustomed to such things, are prepared. You've got some candles stuck somewhere. You've got flashlights stuck everywhere. We understand the concept of light and its value. And when you lose something, the other day I was sitting in my office and I bumped my watch and the little pin popped out. I don't know which direction it flew, but I got my light. The first thing I reached for. Started searching. I still hadn't found it. But I certainly wouldn't have found it if it had not been for light. And eventually, maybe I will. But we understand the value of light, that it reveals, it opens up to us so that we can see. God used His light, the Word, His truth, to reveal the darkness that is in us. But you know what? We are in sin. All have sinned and come short of the glory of God. The only way that you and I knew of our predicament of sin and what sin would do to us if it had not been for the light, God shed His light on us and it revealed the sin in our lives. There are those in the world who do not like the light. If you noticed in our reading, going back to verse 19, the middle of the verse, we see why it is the case that there are those who want to extinguish the light. Jesus said, men love darkness rather than light because their deeds were evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be, the King James says, reproved, has the idea of exposed. Exactly what you use a light to do. In a dark room looking for something, you turn the light on and it exposes what's hidden in the dark. We as human beings, we have our sins and we really, in the back of our minds, we know those things are not right. And we try to hide them. How? By keeping them in the darkness. Why is it that most crimes, I understand we live in such a society and it's not just us, not just this time, that some people will do anything, anytime, anywhere, broad daylight. But for the most part, why do thieves break in at night under the cover of darkness to hide their evil deeds? As we have said, Jesus came as light into the world and that light exposes our wickedness, our sins. It exposes that which condemns us. Jesus didn't come to condemn. We were already condemned. He came that it might shine the light so that we can correct. So many want to run from the light. So many want to hide from the light. They do not like the light because what the light does. But the honest heart is the one that willingly opens up to the light, welcomes the light. The honest heart is the one that is willing to go into the Word of God to allow that to shine into our lights to reveal exactly where we are. And when that sin is found, we cleanse that sin by the blood of Jesus Christ. Cannot hide your sins from God. We think we can. Cannot hide our sins. Interesting passage. Hold your place there. Go over the book of Hebrews just a moment. Over the years as I have studied the Bible, one thing that is apparent to me is proper context. And I know you probably have heard Hebrews 4:12 cited as many times as I have. For the Word of God is quick and powerful, sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirits and joints and marrow, and is a discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. What a great passage talking about the Word of God, the revealed mind of God to us that we hold, that we cherish. Never thought about the context of that? If you back up one verse, in verse number 11, he talks about us being diligent, putting forth the effort to do the will of God. And then he followed that by saying in verse 13, and there is no creature hidden from His sight, but all things are naked and open to the eyes of Him to whom we must give an account. We have our sins and we think we can hide it in the darkness, but not the darkness does not exist with God. In Him is no darkness at all. His light will reveal them on the day of judgment. And so, as a human being, I can allow the light to shine now where I can see and correct, or on the day of judgment when it is too late. Now, having set forth those three points, let me go back to John chapter 12 for just a moment. I'm going back to John 8 also. Go back to John chapter 12 for just a moment and let's talk about the continuation. I believe we understand that to have salvation, whether it be from past sins or eternal salvation, you can't have one without the other. You must come to the light. But what I want to impress upon our minds is the fact that it is not a one-time thing. Christianity, as we see the light, the truth, and as we accept the evidence of that into our lives, as we obey the truth, as we have been cleansed by the blood of Christ, we have now a newness of life. If anyone be in Christ, he is a new creature, a creation, the New King James. It's not a one-time thing. That's Satan's ploy. That's what Satan wants to convince. We have bought in by our actions on some occasions the idea of once saved, always saved. And we begin reasoning, well, I've been baptized. And we continue to live in sin. We continue to do that which pleases us. In John 12, I want you to notice something. In John 12, verse 46, Jesus said, I'm come a light into the world that whosoever believeth on me should not abide in darkness. And I'm sure you're aware of this. If you're not, note the ETH on the end of believeth. And one of the beautiful things about the King James Version is that aspect which denotes a continual action. And that's what we're trying to point out. It's not a one-time belief. Yes, He is the Christ and I've come to that point of salvation and that's it. That's a doctrine taught in the world that once you have that faith that He is the Christ, that is the saving faith, and then there is not a sin you can commit from murder to idolatry, to quote one man, that will condemn your soul. Yes, we must have faith in order to be saved, but the faith that we describe in the Word of God is an obedient faith. Not in just obtaining salvation, but our faith continues then after. It's never a one-time thing. You and I are exercising our faith as we sit here this morning in worship to our God. Remember Jesus said in Luke 6:46, "Why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say?" In John chapter 8, going back to that discussion with those religious leaders, these men who should have known. In verse 24, He makes that claim, "Except you believe that I am, you'll die in your sins." Drop down to verse 31 to the very same group of people. This time it says He addressed those Jews which believed on Him. Notice, "If ye continue in My Word, then ye are My disciples indeed." He was talking to those who had a faith that He was the Christ, but it wasn't enough. I've got a writing that I printed off the internet some years ago by a former brother who titled it "The Sufficiency of Faith," and he is arguing the position of faith only. Jesus Himself denied that position with this statement. They believed on Him. But Jesus said, "If you continue in My Word, then are you My disciples indeed." Go back to John chapter 8 just a moment. John chapter 8, this time back again, verse 12, when He said, "I am the light of the world. He that," here's the King James again, "followeth," ETH, "me, shall not walk in darkness, but shall have the light of life." Don't you find that interesting? In these two claims that "I am the light of the world," there's the aspect, John 12, verse 46, "believeth," and now He says, "followeth me, shall not walk." Christianity is about a new way of life, and that way of life is in following the footprints of Jesus, day after day, step after step. We follow Jesus wherever it leads. I pointed this out years ago in our book. There's two songs that are side by side, number 6 and number 7. One of them, I believe, is "Anywhere with Jesus," and then the next one is "The Way of the Cross Leads Home." I thought that was very ironic, those two. So many people say, "I will follow Jesus wherever it leads," and then there all of a sudden is the cross that you and I must bear. Matthew 16:24. "If any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross and follow me." And we see that cross that we must bear, and we say, "Is there another way? Is there any other way?" Well, in Matthew 7:13 and 14, it involves the straight gate and the narrow way. That's difficult. If you're going to come to the light, it's going to take an honest heart to allow the light to shine, to expose that which is not right. And we come to the light, we're going to have to be willing to follow the light, no matter where He leads. Why then does anyone turn away from Him? I go back to the book of Ephesians, in this time chapter 4, and I believe that Paul, by inspiration, he hits the nail on the head. He's talking to these Gentiles about other Gentiles. In verse 17, he talks about the rest of the Gentiles walk in the futility of their minds. Notice verse 18, having their understanding darkened, being alienated from the life of God because of the ignorance that is in them, because of the hardening of their heart, or the hardness of their heart, who, being past feeling, have given themselves over to licentiousness, to work all uncleanness with greed. Why did they turn away? Because of the darkness. They did not love the light. Go back to Matthew chapter 5 for just a moment. We've looked at this claim. Jesus said, "I am the light of the world." How does that have a bearing on me? He is the light. I understand that. He is the great Savior of this world. He is the God who became man so that He could die for the atoning sacrifice of our sins. I understand that. You understand that. But how does it apply to me? Chapter 5, in the Sermon on the Mount, in that first section of the Beatitudes, those characteristics, and then He gets into our influence. "Ye are the salt of the earth," verse 13. But drop down to verse 14 when He said, "Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hidden, nor do they light a lamp and put it under a basket, but on a lampstand, and it gives light to all who are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father in heaven." There's the application we need to look at and that we need to make. I love how one man explained this passage when he said that in a sense we are reflectors of the true light. He is the light. We are to reflect that light. You know, one of the greatest inventions, like they say, other than sliced bread, are those little reflectors they put on the highway. They make driving at night so much easier. If you've ever been down a road that they're there and then all of a sudden they disappear and it's a dark night, you know what I mean. We're reflectors. Think about Paul's statement in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 15, that you may be blameless and harmless, the sons of God without rebuke in the midst of a crooked and perverse nation. Notice, among whom ye shine as lights in the world. Let me take this a step further. In the book of Revelation, there as the seals were being opened, and you come down to that sixth seal. Actually, I believe it's the fifth seal. And he sees those souls under the altar. In chapter 7, verse 13, the angel asked John this question: who are these arrayed in white robes, and where do they come from? John doesn't answer that. He, in verse 14, we'll notice it in a minute. But what he sees is these martyred Christians, faithful Christians, who have given their life and now they are awaiting judgment. They're in paradise. Verse 14, and I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he, this angel, said to me, these are they which came out of the great tribulation and have washed their robes and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Now, you may be confused. What does this have to do with light? What does this have to do with reflectors? The simple point is, the color white represents purity, also is that which reflects light. Black is that which absorbs it. You notice these athletes, they put the black lines under their eyes, not the white. There's a reason for that. Why do these saints have white robes? Why is it portrayed as white? Because we are the reflectors. Our garments have been stained by sin, and the blood of Christ cleanses those sins and makes us pure and white. Isaiah 1:18, white as snow. Because we are now to reflect the light. Just as you drive along and your lights of your car hits that reflector, you're not going to miss it. You're going to see if you're paying attention. We live in the world and the light of God is reflected off of our lives because we've allowed His Word to change our lives. And others may see Him living in us. You see, if we're living as we ought to, our lives can be the most powerful sermon some will ever hear. Let me pose to you a question as we close. Have you come to the light this morning? If you're not in the light, there's only one way that you can get into the light, who is Christ. You must have faith that He is the Christ, the Savior of this world, and by that faith you obey His commands, such as in Luke 13 and verse 3, to repent or turn away from sin. By faith we obey His commands in Matthew 10, 32 and 33, where we are willing to confess Him before others that He is the Christ. Then by our faith we must be willing to obey His command that He Himself gave, such as Mark 16 and verse 16. He that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. That's where the blood is applied. We're baptized into His death, Romans 6. Then we are raised to walk in newness of life. Have you come to the light? It's going to require a life-changing aspect. We're going to have to give up the sin. Let the light expose the sin, turn away from it, and be washed of it in the blood. If you've not, why not today? If, as a child of God, we've come to the light and we've been washed, we can be stained again. And if we have allowed sin into our lives, let the light continue to shine. Acknowledge the sin that may be in your life. Ask God's forgiveness. He is faithful. He will forgive. If it's public, acknowledge it publicly. We're here to pray with you and for you.
God be with you till we meet again.
You have been listening to the Back to the Bible radio broadcast, brought to you by the Creston and West Jefferson Churches of Christ. If you would like to know more about the Church of the New Testament, or the commandments God has given that will add you to His church, or if you have a question about something we have said on this program, please contact us at Back to the Bible, 130 Robert Street, West Jefferson, North Carolina, 28694. Or you may call 336-846-5615. You may also visit us on the web at wjchurchofchrist.org. We thank you for listening this morning and hope you will listen again next Sunday morning at 7:30, and that your desire will be to go back to the Bible.